following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1685. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
Christian, what are you doing? Come on. Hey, you got to hurry up. Hey, it's Monday, and we're on the line.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Christian Griffin and Trip Upton.
Welcome in, everybody, here on the Monday edition of On the Line. I'm not Christian Griffin, as you could probably tell. It's Trip Upton here, solo manning the studio here today. Christian is traveling a little bit. He's out of town. I've been telling people today that he's actually been pulled from a scheduled start so that the Braves can trade him for Casey Mize. Hopefully get the Braves something at the trade deadline as it continues to count down towards 5 p.m. Central. As I said earlier, I'm Trip Upton here, normally the co-host of On the Line, but getting the full-time call-up today. So you're just going to have me for the most part here on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. But you could be still a part of the show today, obviously. Phone lines are going to be open for the first hour and a half of the show at 334-321-1390. And might as well start out the show today with a big announcement with the new Sin Medicine text box. This text box is brought to you by Sin Medicine. At Sin Medicine, you get VIP medical care with direct access to your personal physician. With 20-plus years of emergency room experience, Dr. Eric Sin is bringing personalized, access-driven healthcare to the Plains. Become a member today by visiting Sin Medicine, that's SENNmedicine.com. And that's that same phone number you know so well at 334-784-1685, 334-784-1OTL. With Christian gone today, he will be sending me over whatever you guys want to say in there, so it will be open. Maybe a little bit of a delay, but we're going to try and get to it the best we can. We got a packed show for you. I guess I have a packed show for you today, but you'll be joining us right here. We're going to be looking at an ESPN article, looking at what they think the top 31 teams are, or the 31 teams that can make the college football playoff. Who does Auburn play? Is Auburn among them? You'll have to listen to see there. We'll also look at what the newest stuff is on the Save College Sports Act, the SEC and Big Ten buying into that. We're going to go over everything you need to know, as well as the class of 2022, my graduating, my recruiting class, I like to say, gets another year of eligibility. What does that mean? What does that mean for any former Auburn players or current Auburn players? We're going to go over all that you need to know. And then we might have a special guest here at 3:30. No Jacob Hillman today, but it's someone that you know, I'd say, relatively well, and you probably expected to hear as the music fired today. But again, phone lines, text lines are open as we are here on this Monday edition. Hope everyone had a fantastic weekend. I know I did. I was in Dahlonega, Georgia for a wedding. Shout out to Reese and Wilson Long for their marriage. It was so awesome. The wedding ceremony was so great. And it's just, you know, great way to kind of book into the summer. They were smart enough to get it in before the fall, because everyone knows you can't have a wedding in the fall at all in general, but specifically in the Southeast, 100%. So looking at what's going on in the Southeast, it's college football season, and the college football playoff, the road to it starts on August 29th. And that's going to be such a big weekend. Week zero, I know Auburn doesn't play, but we're going to have, you know, Jacksonville State, North Dakota State. We'll have North Carolina TCU, I believe, that day. That's the Ireland game. UVA NC State was going to be the Brazil game. It's going to be in Charlottesville. So ESPN put out an article, and basically what they wanted to say is that there are 28 teams with at least a 10% chance to reach the college ball playoff, and they gave us 31. Yeah, 31 teams, you know. And in the age of expansion, I can't wait until about 5 years from now, and it's going to be, well, yeah, these are the 136 teams that can make the college football playoff, because all you have to do is take the field, and congratulations, you're in. We get more TV money. But what they did here is that they ranked them, and we're going to go through them and react to them and kind of give you what you need to know, because I think that Auburn fans, with the teams that are on here, you're going to hear some names you know, and you're not going to hear Auburn, surprisingly, in the top 31 teams. And I'm going to go through some teams that I think Auburn should be over, because I think that Auburn's got a better coaching situation, a better quarterback situation, a better roster, and really a better conference to be in to get you into the college football playoff. It's going to be right here. So the number one team, the Texas Longhorns. Texas, I think, should be one of the front runners in college football. They have a 69.9% chance to make the college football playoff. That leads to a 13.2% chance to win a national title. And yeah, I think that the Longhorns are a team that is going to be stacked on paper, but it's, can they put it all together? You're going to have Arch Manning, who I think is who I voted for one of the top quarterback in the SEC this season. I think that's the mobility that he brings, along with the pedigree, along with the idea that having the talent around him. You have two elite running backs in Raleigh Brown and Hollywood Smothers. You have Cam Coleman and Ryan Wingo on the outside, and then a defense coached by Will Muschamp with NFL first round picks on that defensive line and in that front seven, really, with a very solid secondary. I think I'd have to agree with that. Texas being one of the top teams to make the college football playoff, but can they put it all together? You have Steve Sarkisian. He's been good at Texas. I know that maybe that they've under-delivered, even though they made a Final Four, effectively, a semifinal game, and barely lost to the team that won the national championship in Ohio State. He has a playoff win. Actually, it's two playoff wins under his belt. But I think it's, can they put all that talent together? I think we saw that at Auburn last year, where there was a lot of talent, but the coaching was not to the level that it should have been to compete. And then you had to go and really prove yourself, and that's what Texas is going to do. They have Ohio State to start out the season. That's going to tell you a lot about yourself. I think they could still lose that game and be fine, but I think that that's really interesting. Ohio State as well in the top three at number two. Notre Dame at number three. I mean, again, when you have a rule built in that you can get in the college football playoff and you play one tough game against Miami, you're probably going to be in. I'd agree with that as well, Brandon. The Oregon Ducks are at number four, and then we get to number five, the first team that the Auburn Tigers play in the regular season, and that's the Georgia Bulldogs. They were my pick to win the SEC. They were the consensus pick to win the SEC, and I think that's for good reason. Talking to some of my Georgia fan and Georgia student friends, just kind of giving me some insight about what this Dogs team has to have. It's the running game, and they're going to want to rush the passer. Glenn Schumann, Kirby Smart want this defense to be aggressive, and I think they're going to have a lot of room to do that, given the fact of some of their defensive backs, that guys like Ellis Robinson IV and K.J. Bolden, and Auburn fans know that name, K.J. Bolden, so well, because it was down to Auburn, Georgia, and Florida State for his commitment, and a lot of people liked him to go to Auburn at one point, but the safety there for Georgia, phenomenal. So they're going to have a lot of room to rush the passer. The running game, yes, they lost Dante Dodell, but I mean, I think Nate Frazier's a guy that can be a star in the SEC. He had some fumbling issues, but I think they're going to clear it up. Bo Walker is a name to watch out for in that backfield, from what I understand. And then Chauncey Bowens was there last year and got some reps, really getting him up the game speed. They got to go play at Ole Miss. That's a place Auburn's got to play this year, if you don't remember that. And that's going to be an interesting game with Pete Golding now as the head coach. They played once before in the college football playoff with Ole Miss winning. I think Georgia has that circled as a revenge game. And, you know, for an Auburn team, this is going to be a big test of that is your second road game you have to play. You have to go to Neyland, because I'm not going to count the home game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium as an away game, but you have to go play at Neyland Stadium in Knoxville, Tennessee, and then you also have to play in Athens, really in that front half of the season. So, and we'll get to the Volunteers here momentarily, but looking around as well, the Indiana Hoosiers at number six, skipping down now to number eight, where that's the Ole Miss Rebels, another team that a lot of people are starting to think that Auburn can go to Oxford and knock them off. I don't know if I think that, but it's really interesting because it's a new head coach And you could say, oh, Pete Golding coached games last season. He's not a new head coach. I would say that he is, because I think that what the playoff gave that team and what Lane Kiffin's departure gave that team was really something that was able to propel them past the coaching that was on the field. It was propel them with the close games that they had against certain teams like Georgia. And I think that really that boils down to the fact that they were a team possessed and a team with a united goal. Now the goal is different. They've got to go through a ton of tough teams in the SEC to be able to get to a point where they can compete in the college football playoff. I don't think that Ole Miss is necessarily a team that I don't know if I'd pick them to miss the playoffs, but I think they're in for a year that could really surprise some people. And you might be wondering why that is. And I think that it's the cohesion on the roster, and I think the defense is going to take a slight step back. And I think the cohesion is the first part, where you lose some of your good pieces to LSU, but you keep the top two guys. You keep Kawan Lacy, arguably the second, if not the best, running back in the Southeastern Conference, and you keep your quarterback, Trinidad Chambliss, a guy that's really proven he can put it on in the big moments. But I think that the defense is going to be something that we have to see. Ole Miss's defense has been really good under Pete Golding. I think two of their best statistical years, they lose a little bit of talent here and there, but it's really going to be interesting where the interim effect, as I like to call it, steps up for Pete Golding, where you saw it last season with DJ Durkin, where the defense was good all year, and it was phenomenal the entire year except for one game, and it was the first game that Coach Durkin was the interim head coach. And now with not the ability for Pete Golding to focus only on the defense, don't worry about what Lane and Tommy Reese are going to be doing with the offense. Let's focus only on the defense. Let's see what we can get here instead, or Charlie Weiss, that is. Now it's, okay, how do we focus on the whole team and competing at a different level when now the target's on your back? You're not the hunter, you're the hunted. With Ole Miss, I think the ESPN article here says that they disagree. They don't think that this team is going to be able to potentially make it, but they do have some talent. I think I'd agree with that. They got to play a Louisville team tough, and they got LSU week three at home. I think that's going to be the game that's going to define the college football season for both of those teams. It's going to be absolutely electric, and a team that Auburn has to play in Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. That's going to be a matchup where maybe Ole Miss is looking ahead. Maybe that they've gotten some big wins, but they've got some tough games on the horizon. Pulling up Ole Miss's 2026 schedule, I know they start out with Louisville as well as, I think, a cupcake after that. Yeah, Charlotte, the 49ers. But looking at this schedule, they got to play Auburn in between a road trip to Austin and hosting the Georgia Bulldogs. What happens if Ole Miss goes out, they beat Texas, College Game Day, I'm sure, would be in Austin, and then on Halloween night, Auburn comes into Vaught-Hemingway Stadium and pulls a shocker as Ole Miss is looking for a titanic matchup next weekend with the Grove right there in Oxford against the Georgia Bulldogs. That could be someone in a game that could define Auburn's season. That could be a game that could define Alex Golish's time at Auburn, or at least first season at Auburn. If you're able to go to Oxford, a team that Auburn was able to beat, I believe, last time, when the Brian Harsin's first year in 2021, if that tells you anything, go ahead and win that game back now that it's back on the schedule. That could really jumpstart this Alex Golish-led Auburn team and could really hurt Ole Miss's playoff chances, having already played at LSU. You already got to play a solid Louisville team. You have to play Texas. You play Georgia the weekend after Auburn, and then you have to play Oklahoma, and then a sneaky Mississippi State team in an Egg Bowl that no matter, it's just like the Iron Bowl, anything can happen. You can't just look at the records and look at the numbers and tell you, okay, this is what it is. There have been a lot worse Mississippi State teams to go into Oxford and win that game. The Texas A&M Aggies next at number 9. They are a team that Auburn does not play for the first time in what it feels like forever. But I think that the general consensus on the Aggies, and Christian would agree with this if he was here, is that they are a really good ball club. They are a team with Marcel Reed, who is one of the top quarterbacks in the SEC, and a Mike Elko-led defense is always going to be one of the best in the Southeastern Conference. The real question mark is, what does the offense look like? Colin Klein is no longer the offensive coordinator for the Aggies. They're bringing in some new pieces on the offensive line, refreshment in the running back room, and they don't have a guy like Casey Concepcion. They still have Mario Craver, but the wide receiver room does take a little bit of a hit there. I think this team can make the college football playoff, but it's really going to depend, can they beat Texas? That's the standard bearer. It's like how Every Michigan coach is going to be judged how they beat Ohio State. Every Auburn head coach is going to be judged how they beat Alabama. That's the same way for Mike Elko and Texas A&M. If you can't beat Texas, you're not built to be at Texas A&M. That's just kind of the point of the matter. And I think that if Texas A&M can get over that hump, they're going to be a playoff team. And I would agree with this. But I worry that they're going to slip up somewhere else. They're going to lose to Texas, and that could really be something that could harm this team. Next up, don't have to go very far to find Auburn's next opponent on here. Number 10, the LSU Tigers. A team that went 7-6 last season is the number 10 projected team for the college football playoff, the most likely college football playoff participant. Why? I don't get this personally, because you look at this team. Yeah, they get Lane Kiffin and you get one of the top portal classes in the country. Yeah, that does wonders. Look at what Indiana just did, bringing in a portal class, finding guys in the transfer portal that are ready to come play now. It jumpstarts that transition process from a new head coach. But the problem with LSU is that I don't think Sam Leavitt is a guy that is a big game guy. I mean, you don't really look at him. I mean, yes, he had Cam Scadabo. Yes, he had Jordan Tyson, but the injuries piled up very early from him. I was talking to some people this weekend at the wedding, and I think Auburn fans would find this very interesting of, look at this early schedule. Clemson, it's a game in LSU. I think that LSU should win it. But what happens if a more experienced and a better coach all time in Dabo Swinney wins that game for the Clemson Tigers? What happens if they do? Then they get a bounce back game against the Louisiana Tech Bulldogs before heading to Oxford, Mississippi, a game we talked about earlier. The Rebels are going to be coming in this game with their hair on fire. There is no more locker room motivation that they need other than the fact that Lane Kiffin's on the other sideline. The fact that Lane Kiffin strung them along for what felt like 2 months, when everybody in the world, except Lane Kiffin, knew where he was going to go. And that was Baton Rouge, Louisiana, if the job came open. And when it did, that was the biggest fish in the pond. Maybe some people, if they're some Ole Miss fans, they'll tell you that, oh, we thought he was going to stay. We thought he was going to stick it out. He did it once before when he was going to Auburn, when his daughter told him he needed to stay after he was touring houses and looking at the campus in Auburn. They know he's going to stay. He's going to do it again. Everyone knew he was gone. I thought he was gone. Everyone thought he was gone. So I think that the motivation there for Ole Miss is going to be very apparent, especially the guys that were on that team last season. And then so what happens? They lose that game. You're 1-2. Who do you get after that? The Texas A&M Aggies, the team that's right above LSU in these rankings. What happens if LSU goes 1-3 to start the season? What happens? Would the Tiger faithful in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, would they be happy with that season? Because I think at 9-3, you could run the table at that point. I mean, McNeese, Kentucky, Mississippi State, Auburn, Alabama, Texas, Tennessee, Arkansas. You maybe have two top 25 wins. Yeah, but both of them are at home, so you're really not going to get that signature road victory. Your signature road victory might legitimately be Tennessee or Auburn, depending on what quarterback really does better. And again, we're going to get to Tennessee. But what happens if LSU, a 9-3 season, are they okay with that? LSU, to me, is a lot like the Alabama, where you are basically judged not if you get 9 wins, not if you get 8 wins. If you don't make the college football playoff, regardless if you're 10-2, 11-1, if you don't make it at this point with an expanded playoff, that's not a successful season. And would you like for that pressure as a head coach? I wouldn't, especially given the fact that this is a year one, a year traditionally saved for the idea that we're going to lay the foundation. I think that's what you're going to see a lot this year with Alex Golish and Auburn, where you're going to lay the foundation. You're going to get a big win, hopefully, here and there, and you're going to compete relative to the peers of your Floridas and your Tennessees, your Mississippi States. And you know, if you could pull out an upset over an Ole Miss, an LSU, a Georgia, an Alabama, or even better, then that's going to define your season and jump you up to that next tier. But I think LSU's at the point, with the amount of money they spent on this roster, the amount of buyout money they had to pay for Lane Kiffin, and the amount of public scrutiny that they've had, I don't think LSU can afford a season in which they don't, at least if they're not in the college football playoff, it's because they're number 13 or they're a team that gets bumped for the group of five or the ACC champion. I don't think that's a successful season without having that there. And I think that this is a really another good position for Auburn to be at because Auburn is the first of those tough games, if you want to say. They got a bye week after Auburn. Then they got to play Alabama. They've got to play Texas. They got to play at Tennessee. Again, if LSU could get caught looking ahead, Auburn could take advantage very, very, very easily. But look, it's going to be very interesting to see with these next two teams that Auburn plays one of them really late in the season and Auburn plays one of them pretty early in the season, how they look there. We're going to take a break before we look there at those last two teams. Again, phone lines are open for the first hour and a half of today's show, 334-321-1390. And then the Sin Medicine text box, always open 24-7 at 334-784-1685. Usually Christian's the one reading these numbers. I got to do it in my head here. I'll be right back here after this commercial break here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You're on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton. Be a part of the show by calling 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1685.
We continue here through on the Monday edition of On the Line. No Christian Griffin here today, so it's Trip Upton taking you through on today's show. So far, we've been breaking down this ESPN article, thinking about the 31 teams that can make the college football playoff and kind of how it relates to the Auburn Tigers. And, you know, we've talked through teams such as Georgia, Ole Miss, and LSU, as well as some SEC teams like Texas and Texas A&M that really could make a splash and maybe not play Auburn now, but could set up pivot points for if Auburn plays the team that they play a week before or the week after, could that lead to an upset? Could that lead to something there that could really benefit the Auburn Tigers and give Alex Golas a signature win to start his first year? Georgia was number five on this list, and I think that that was rightfully so. Ole Miss, a little bit higher than I expected at number eight. LSU, number 10. Those are three of Auburn's five opponents on the list. And Auburn fans, you know number 17 pretty well, and it doesn't take far for you to find them. Just look across the state. The Alabama Crimson Tide at number 17, sandwiched in between the SMU Mustangs at number 18. I guess, you know, you play in the ACC, you get bumped up despite being a 9-4 team last year. Don't see what they're seeing there. I mean, Kevin Jennings is good, but I don't see that either. And then number 16 is Penn State. It's a team that went 7-6. They're still buying the Nittany Lion hype, and you know what? Good power, more power to them. You know, maybe Matt Campbell comes in, maybe Rocco Beck comes in, and they turn it around there. I don't really know, but I think when you play a schedule as easy as the Big Ten's, that's going to happen. Looking at now Alabama, ranked number 17 in ESPN's top 31 teams to potentially make the college football playoff. Alabama's at an interesting spot because I think that they have some really high highs, but then the question marks really negate that for a lot of people. I think the defense under Kane Womack has been a very good group of this team. They're able to put in a solid secondary in the play calling. I liked Kane Brown at South Alabama. I know it's an Auburn fan talking about how much he likes an Alabama coach. I get it. You know, it's not the best look. However, I think that he was a really solid coach there and realized that I can get Power 5 experience, get into the SEC coaches club that I think that so many teams look for when they look for a potential head coach of, man, he's got to have SEC pedigree. He's got to be having recruit in the Southeast. He's got to be able to do this. Guys like Alex Golish, who was an offensive coordinator at Tennessee. That's how you get into the SEC club. You either be a coach there or a coordinator because you see what happens when it doesn't work, like Brian Harsin, a guy that had never really coached in the SEC, coming to Auburn and being a worse culture fit than a polar bear in the Sahara Desert. And then you also see when it fits on paper, but just not a good coach. You don't learn enough from your last stop, like Hugh Freeze, a guy that fit the Southeastern Conference mold, had been a head coach in this league, but the game had passed him by, to be quite frank with you. And that's what Kane Womack does with this defense, and I would not be surprised if he's getting head coaching looks after this season, because I think that that's been the group that I don't think Alabama fans, I don't want to speak for them, but I think that they don't worry about as much. But the big things for Alabama, the big question mark, first is the quarterback. Is it going to be Austin Mack? Is it going to be Keelan Russell? I don't know personally. I think that Austin Mack is a guy that if you think he can win a national championship, you start him now. But if you have any question marks, I think Keelan Russell gives you so much of a higher ceiling and honestly a higher floor that I think that you're willing to take the bumps early in the season to be able to give him a future where by the Iron Bowl or by next season, they could be a top five team going into this season. And there's not really as many question marks, especially given the fact that, you know, they just signed Kalen DeBoer to an extension. Alabama fans will tell you that they're going to run him out of town at 9-3, but I just don't know about that. Given the fact that he has been such a big contract. Looking at this early season schedule, Eastern Carolina, at Kentucky, sneaky. Florida State with Ashton Daniels, but it's in Tuscaloosa. And South Carolina and Mississippi State. Before you head to Georgia, what happens if you give Keelan Russell five starts? You let him get his time. You let him buy some energy and buy some experience. Then you have the Dogs coming to Bryant-Denny Stadium. I think there's a little bit of a recipe for success there. But what does the O-line look like? What does the running back room look like? All these questions and more are why Alabama, I don't know, because despite their really, really, really green flags, the question marks make me to the point where I can't buy stock into them now. But we've gone through four teams. We've got one team left before looking over at the Save College Sports Act. And the SEC and the Big Ten are buying in. We're right here. It's 30 minutes in to the Monday edition of On the Line. Stick around. We'll be glad to have you.
You're on the line, and we're just 30 minutes in. Now back to the studio with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7.
Continuing our way here through the Monday edition of On the Line. 30 minutes in, and we're still talking about the ESPN article looking at the 31 most likely teams to make the college football playoff, and we've gone through four of Auburn's opponents. It's time to go through a fifth at number 26, the Tennessee Volunteers, led by Josh Heupel. Alex Golish's former team as when he was the offensive coordinator, and this Vols team sandwiched right in between the TCU Horned Frogs, where they just lost their starting quarterback and still number 27, as well as the UNLV Rebels, led by Jackson Arnold, a name that Auburn fans, I think, know pretty well. It'll be interesting to see. I think we've both Christian and I have talked about how that'll be an interesting look with him and Dan Mullen in a quarterback run-friendly offense. I think that he could really do some damage there for them. But the Tennessee Volunteers, number 26, a team that has a 20% chance to make the college football playoff. And for a team that also doesn't know their quarterback, that's a big question. Mark, you know, between George McIntyre and Faison Brandon, there's a combined 9 career passes between those two players. What is ESPN seeing here? They see a good defense. I think that bringing in Tim Banks to be a part of this defensive staff will be an adjustment that not a lot of people are used to. Tim Banks is on Auburn. Oh my goodness. But bringing in a new defensive staff for the Volunteers will be very interesting to see kind of what this looks like. And I think that they are real. Jim Knowles, sorry, I don't know why I blanked on that, but coming over from Penn State, he's one of the best defensive coordinators in college football still. Tim Banks was there last season. That is the 1-2 connection right there for the Auburn Tigers, the Tennessee Volunteers. And Tennessee plays Auburn really early. It is one of their first games. Tennessee has a very interesting schedule for this season. I know that they have to play a Power 5 team early in Georgia Tech in Atlanta. That's a game that I don't think either team really knows how it's going to go. Both are breaking in new quarterbacks in Alberto Mendoza for the Yellow Jackets and then either McIntyre or Brandon for the Volunteers. They get Furman and Kennesaw State as well before they have to play Texas. That is a game in which Tennessee could get beat up. Texas is such a physical team. They're going to dominate you on both lines of scrimmage and try and run the ball. They're going to let Arch Manning throw to his wide receivers in space and really going to force Tennessee to play a little bit of keep away. And maybe that's what they want to do when you have a guy like Deshaun Bishop as your running back. But Tennessee, they got to play that game, and then they get to host the Auburn Tigers the next weekend. I think that's a big opportunity for Coach Alex Golish, Byron Brown, and these Auburn Tigers, in which you have a guy that was there last season in Tim Banks on your defensive staff, along with DJ Durkin. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he is one of the best defensive coordinators of college football. That's a loaded staff right there, both from a recruiting standpoint and a physical standpoint. The Tigers will have Byron Brown. They'll have Alex, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in college football. I think a lot of people are agreeing with that. A guy that if he can continue this success, and if Auburn can build early momentum with wins against Baylor, with a win against Florida, with a win against Vanderbilt, all in home environments, their first true road test against a team that probably knows their starting quarterback, but there's a big potential that Texas could expose some of the things that they're lacking, that Alex Golish can take this game personally, knowing that he used to be on the sidelines or in the booth helping the volunteers with Hendon Hooker and one of the best offenses in college football history through 8 weeks before they went to Athens and got beat. And I think beat is an understatement there. But if all of that can come together after a physically demanding performance against Texas, I think Auburn could be a team that could have the upper hand, depending on how Auburn looks when they start. I think Auburn could have a chance to be favored in this game. Yet Tennessee is the one ranked in the college football playoff poll, or at least the percent chance, a 20% chance to make the college football playoff. But with a back half schedule where you've got to play Alabama, it's the third Saturday in October, you got to play Texas A&M, you got to play LSU. I think that 8-4, at the very best, does not get Tennessee into the college football playoff. I don't think it gets any team in the college football playoff. And, you know, even if it's like, yeah, you're losing to Ohio State, Indiana, Georgia, and Texas, I don't think that gets you in, even if you play all those games to quadruple overtime and lose on a penalty. Looking at some other teams that could be interesting to note, Clemson at number 29. Breaking a new starting quarterback. South Carolina at number 30, which I think is a little ridiculous. They went 4-8 last season. Yeah, Lenore Sellers is pretty good, but we talked about it on Friday. If Shane Beamer and this team fall apart early, they can't find the wins to recover late in the season in a tough schedule. I don't think, like, there's a world where Shane Beamer is not the head coach going into the Palmetto Bowl. And I think that to have them as the number 30 team compared to an Auburn team, I mean, just, I know they don't play each other, but let's call a spade a spade. I think Byron Brown and Lenore Sellers are comparable. I think I might give a slight edge to Brown given the health. A running game that Auburn very clearly dominates. A receiver talent, yeah, Nick Harbor's good, and I think they have probably the quote-unquote proven talent in the room. But if Auburn, with the guys that know the system, but if Auburn with the guys that have the offensive scheme, yeah, Kendall Briles is a good offensive coordinator, but I think Alex Golish and Joel Gordon can call a better offense. If they can do all that and then have a defense that can get after that South Carolina offensive line that was worse than Auburn's, sure, Dylan Stewart's good, but I don't think that this offensive line is going to be able to really have to struggle much when their defense is forcing three and outs every single play. And every single drive, because Lenore Sellers can't get the snap off, they can't run the football. If these two teams were to play each other, I think Auburn's got a way better chance at success than the South Carolina Gamecocks. Yet South Carolina is ranked number 30. And why is that? Why are all those teams that I just mentioned, teams that I think Auburn can compete with and beat, ranked over the Auburn Tigers? Maybe Auburn's number 32 on this list. And, you know, looking at the FBI, I wouldn't be surprised if that's around the case and they just were the first team to miss the cut. But I think that looking at it, it's, you're looking at what Auburn has to play. They probably have an easier out-of-conference schedule than South Carolina, just given the fact that Clemson v. Baylor as your premier out-of-conference opponent really doesn't do much to you. Yeah, Townsend and Kent State as well. I mean, they both play Mississippi State. They both play Alabama. Auburn doesn't have to play Kentucky, but they both have to play Tennessee. They both have to play Florida. They both, you know, Auburn doesn't play Oklahoma. South Carolina doesn't have to play Ole Miss, but I think that the general consensus is that South Carolina is a make or break year. I don't think that is for Auburn, and I just don't think it's going to make for the South Carolina Gamecocks, just being quite honest with you. But this is what ESPN has to say. Again, you can't really put too much stock into these preseason rankings. Just interesting to look and compare, and where, as an Auburn fan, do you, and I'm very curious again, phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. Text box, the Sin Medicine text box is open at 334-784-1685. If you had to place Auburn compared to these teams in the SEC, would you shake the hand and say, hey, I think that Auburn could beat South Carolina? Do you think Auburn could beat teams like Tennessee? I think that's very possible, especially given where they get Tennessee. Heck, you could even make conversations of Ole Miss, the question marks there, or LSU, you get at home. Those are two top 10 percentage teams. If Auburn could win some of these games, those are feathers in the cap of Alex Golish. That's going to not only help recruiting, it's not only going to help the national respect, but also going to help this team gel. And that's going to be a team that is dangerous in the Auburn Tigers. And I don't know what much else could stop them other than an act of God if they can win those games, or politics. And speaking of politics, the Safe College Sports Act, to be able to segue, man, I don't know if it's cleanly, but very interestingly, is what is one of the biggest news in college sports today. They really have to look and see what happens there, because the SEC and the Big Ten late on Friday night were able to come to a deal over concessions over language regarding to third-party name, image, and likeness deals and the so-called, quote-unquote, associated entities that broker these arrangements between players and schools. So what does that mean? I think that that gives the fact that, yes, I thought one of the big things in what they were talking about across the SEC and across the Big Ten were the TV rights deals, were the ideas that, hey, maybe Auburn and maybe the SEC, rather, shouldn't get to choose where they play in a certain day. It should be up to a third party. That the Big Noon kickoff, while great for the Big Ten, maybe we should allow those games to be played at night. Have an independent body that decides that stuff. Now, I don't agree with that personally, because I think that the idea is that teams could effectively, if they really wanted to, and I'm going to give an example of what could happen, is if you're going to put congressmen, if you're going to put politicians in there, because of lobbying and because of the fandom that these guys obviously have to support their constituents, support their home, there could be some, if depending who's on the committee, you could see some certain teams get to be promoted a little bit more. I'm looking at you, Texas Tech, with Cody Campbell being able to lobby any congressman. You saw it with him lobbying a Texas Attorney General to support the Red Raiders' attempt to play Brendan Sorsby. What happens if one of the founding members of this bipartisan effort, Senator Ted Cruz, what happens if the Red Raiders donate some money there and then suddenly the 7:30 or the 6:30 game Central every night on ABC or ESPN is Texas Tech every home game, but then every away game, it's the 11 o'clock. It's the noon game. Why? Because that's going to benefit the teams that they have. I mean, I don't blame them. You know, if Senator Tuberville were on this, I'd like him to be able to slide Auburn some home games, some night games. But if they got to go play in Athens, yeah, I mean, 11 o'clock works there. Yeah, you know, let's make it work. Yeah, let's put it on the network that's going to give Auburn the best reach and opportunity. Yeah, let's do that. But if it's a home game, it should be the prime time. That's what you get when you put politics and sports together. You get outside influences to affect it. And those outside influences are already creeping in. You look at private equity. You look at boosters. But now this gives everything a direct line from, hey, I want to pay for this lobby. I want to pay for this concession. And I think that's some of the holdups that I thought that the Big Ten and the SEC had. But more so, it's looking at the idea of the idea of the fact that it's looking at the third party in the NIL, which I think is the big problem in college football nowadays. It's the idea that there needs to be something that helps these kids look through there and give some kind of salary cap and allow teams to compete and just can't spend money. Teams shouldn't be able to have a $30 million roster and have to play in the same conference as a team that can barely get car washes to sponsor them. I'm not going to call any universities or out specifically, but I mean, you look at, imagine having a NIL fund like those at Ohio State, those at LSU. How are certain programs supposed to compete with that? NIL funds at Texas Tech, Texas A&M, all of the above, how are they supposed to compete? I just think it's really interesting to look at that, and I think there's got to be some kind of salary cap, because at the end of the day, you can just buy talent now. And I don't think that that's what college athletics is supposed to be. I don't think money should be involved to the extent that it has been, but I think that there's a necessary evil at some point. But I think at the end of the day, that is an important part of what that needs to be happen with NIL and what it changed. And again, there's a lot, long way to go. The Senate has yet to break for summer, so there is possibility that they gets passed before they break, but it'll be really interesting to see what happens. But what can you do now? What can Auburn fans do now to support the Tigers, and what can they do for NIL? Well, that's a great question, and I think we've got the perfect thing for you. On August 22nd and 23rd, it's the inaugural Card and Memorabilia Show presented by On to Victory. Head over to ontovictory.com/card show. Card show is all one word, by the way, to find out more about the two-day event featuring more than 150 vendor tables with a huge selection of sports cards, memorabilia, and collectibles, plus some vendors. Are you even going to have Pokemon cards? I'm not going to talk as much Pokemon as Christian's probably worried that I did was going to. With him being gone, but looking at it, there's going to be some awesome celebrities there as well. Chris Davis, Tim Hudson, Braves legends Dale Murphy and Andrew Jones, Dominique Wilkins from the Atlanta Hawks, they're all going to be here that weekend. Auburn's going to have their own celebrities with autographs and a chance to meet various players and teams that compete for the Tigers this season. On to Victory is also offering VIP packaging and pricing to further enhance the experience. Are you a card collector? An autograph collector, or just a fan of Auburn sports or any of the Braves, the Hawks that they've mentioned? Then on August 22nd and 23rd, the two-day fan experience at Neville Arena is just for you. Aubie is also planning on attending there. I'm, again, glad he could fit us in his busy schedule, because, I mean, when you're a, what, 12-time national champion, you're a busy cat. But there's going to be a kid zone as well with activities to make those 2 days even more special. For more information on ticketing, pricing, and the scheduled events, to inquire about your VIP packaging, visit ontovictory.com/card show, all one word, and start planning your weekend with On to Victory. Legendary athletes, along with Auburn student athletes of today, that's ontovictory.com/card show. So until that this Senate stuff gets passed, you can support the Auburn Tigers by doing that. That's just, I mean, that's the easiest way to do it. Other than just showing up to the games and cheering, you can be able to, and you get some cool stuff from it. I mean, sports cards, Pokemon cards, autographs. You get to meet some cool people, maybe snag a photo here and there with Aubie. I think that's a weekend that's shaping up to be a success. We're going to take a break and come up and wrap hour number one. Look at what's going on in the MLB trade deadline and how a future NFL Hall of Famer is going to be coaching college football at a place that I know pretty well. We'll be right back after this break.
You are on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the line, I'm Trip Upton. No Christian Griffin, as we said today, but, you know, he is going to be potentially talking with us later this afternoon. You'll have to wait and see. You'll have to find out here closer to 3:30, I'd say. But looking around what's going on in sports, still MLB deadline for the trades, and still nothing on the Atlanta Braves front. Still no premier starting pitcher that the Braves have got. I don't really know what Alex Anthopoulos is doing, but it's not been ideal, if I had to say the least, but we're going to keep you updated as the show goes on. I'm sure that they will make the brilliant idea to go trade for somebody at 4:01 the second we get off the air here on the line. But some sports news that I think is a little interesting is the fact that there is going to be a new addition with a team in Atlanta. It's not the Atlanta Braves, unfortunately, as of 253. It's the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets bringing in assistant coach Mr. DeAndre Hopkins, future NFL Hall of Famer, retires, quote unquote. He said he's not retired, but I think that this, you don't make this move knowing that you have a, you're under contract for this season, is going to be an assistant wide receivers coach. And it's very interesting because DeAndre Hopkins has little to no connection to the Yellow Jackets. But imagine if Auburn was able to get someone like that. Like, hey, Calvin Johnson, or, you know, hey, Julio Jones. I don't think Julio Jones would coach for Auburn, but I guess Clemson was a Georgia Tech rival. But imagine if they could come help out in the wide receiver room, help out this team and this young group to be able to play well. I mean, imagine if Marcus or Cody Burns could have a Cody Burns could have a guy that could come in here. To be able to come in and help him out and teach them what it means to be elite at an NFL level. In hour number two, we're going to be looking at the latest rulings by a Colorado judge that could allow certain players to be able to get another year of eligibility. What does that mean? Could that affect Auburn? Short story, no, but it affects some former Auburn players, including Keyshawn Hall. And what do you see have to do to play in college basketball next season? And could it affect college football? We're going to find out. We're going to talk you through it. But again, the phone lines will be open for the first 30 minutes of the second hour, 334-321-1390. The text box open as well at 334-784-1685. And as the minutes count down to the music kicking me out of here, I just continue to refresh the tweets of every single MLB beat writer hoping to catch a glimpse of a live reaction to a potential Atlanta Brave and a potential former Auburn Tiger potentially getting a trade to the Braves. That would be fantastic. If not, you're probably going to have myself, Caleb Robinson is joining me tomorrow, and him and I are probably going to break down everything going on with the MLB trade deadline, so you're not going to want to miss it. We're 1 hour through here. Here on the solo show of On the Line, I'm Trip Upton. Make sure you stick around for hour number two. That'll be talking all about the latest rulings as well as potentially an appearance by Christian Griffin. All that and more in hour number two. Stick around.
An Auburn Network production.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1685. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
You cannot miss an hour here of On the Line because there might be another ruling to change eligibility rules. It's Monday. It's hour two, and you're on the line.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Christian Griffin and Trip Upton.
We continue here through the Monday edition of On the Line. I'm Trip Upton. No Christian Griffin in the studio today, but if you're lucky, you might be able to get to hear him here in a couple minutes away. In hour number one, pretty simple. We talked looking through ESPN's 31 teams that can make the college football playoff. Who does Auburn play from that list? And why are the Tigers not on it? We broke it all down in hour number one. We also looked at the latest on the Save College Sports Act that legitimately keeps changing by the minute, as there are more updates saying that there's going to be a released changes that they're going to release here momentarily, as well as looking at just kind of what is the state of college football because of NIL. We all talked about all that in hour number one. So if you missed any of it, tune into the podcast edition on ESPNAU.com or the Radio Alabama app or wherever you get your podcast from. In hour number two, we're going to be looking at the latest rulings by a Colorado judge and how it affects nationwide players except in the state of Ohio and Tennessee. How does that affect the Auburn Tigers? Not by much, but you will recognize some names that are impacted by this list. We'll also talk to Christian Griffin, host of On the Line, get what he's hearing from, and where in the world is Christian Griffin. We'll hear all about that as well as a little bit about fall camp here in hour number two. For the first 30 minutes of the hour, phone lines are wide open, 334-321-1390. Give us a call or give us a text in the new and improved Sin Medicine text box. The text box is brought to you by Sin Medicine. At Sin Medicine, you get VIP medical care with direct access to your personal physician. With 20 plus years of emergency room experience, Dr. Eric Sin is bringing personalized, access-driven healthcare to the Plains. Become a member today by visiting sinmedicine.com, S-E-N-N-Medicine.com. That is going to be wide open as well at 334-784-1685, 334-784-1OTL. And the latest news in college sports, in the latest saga in eligibility, in the latest court ruling that everyone has to pay attention to sometimes, but not everyone has to, has just come down over the weekend. A recent ruling by a Colorado judge with the new 5-4-5 allows certain players to be able to play now with a preliminary injunction. So what does that mean? What does that mean, and how does it affect basically what's going on in college football, college basketball, I'm sure college baseball as well? I know that it's going to be a little different given the fact that the transfer portal for college baseball is still open, or it's just closed, rather. So it's going to be interesting to see there. So what does it do? What does it mean? What does this ruling have effect? So what it affects is eligibility because of the 5-for-5 that was passed earlier this year. And for those that may not know, the 5-for-5 is a ruling in which you have a clock. Once either you graduate from high school, or you turn 19, whatever comes first. And what that means is that you get 5 years to play 5 years. If you only play four of them in that five-year span, there's no redshirt year, there's no JUCO eligibility backdoor loophole to be able to get another year. If you're sick and have tonsillitis and you can't play for a year, that doesn't matter. You lose that year of eligibility. It gets rid of red shirts. It gets rid of the medical red shirt. It gets rid of all of these petitions and gives them, for 99.9% of athletes, a blank slate. Now, obviously, if there's some kind of, you know, if you're in the military, if you have a mission, or if you have something else going on, you obviously get some sort of extension. I mean, that's what you look at schools like BYU that send their young men on missions once they graduate high school and then come back. Yes, there is a little bit of an exception there. But what does this ruling have to do with the 5-for-5? It effectively states, due to Colorado Judge Charlotte Sweeney of the U.S. District Court of Colorado, it's a preliminary injunction that requires the NCAA to declare all high school class of 2022 athletes who exhausted their fourth year of eligibility this spring eligible. And so what does that mean? Who does that apply to? That's a great question. And basically how I think of it, these are people that I graduated high school with, to give you some context, 4 years ago. And these are players that they didn't redshirt. They didn't have to get a medical red shirt. They didn't have a COVID year because COVID had already wrapped up its eligibility tampering things after that. It gives players the opportunity to basically get a 5-for-5 because the 5-for-5 applies when you graduate high school. That clock would have only been 4 years for them. So what Judge Sweeney is effectively saying is that these players are grandfathered in and allowed to play one more year because it most suits their eligibility requirements, which to her credit, is what the NCAA has said all along, is that, you know, if you ran out of eligibility, no, but we're going to do whatever works best for you, but then we're going to change it right after your season's done. I think that that is where a lot of this ruling gets basis from. She'd said all persons in the United States who began playing collegiate sports the 2022-23 season, competed in NCAA Division I sports, and completed 4 years of eligibility as defined by the NCAA's prior rules to the conclusion prior to the conclusion of the 2025-2026 season, and are therefore barred because of their adoption and immediate implementation of the five-year eligibility rules. So I think what the problem is here is because it's an immediately adoptable rule. It is immediately checks the box, okay, you guys can play now. And because of that, and because there's no grandfather period, there's no gray area, which I think that that's kind of what doomed a lot of previous eligibility requirements was the gray area. And I do agree that an immediate implementation works best. But because of that, you have those people that, if they were to have graduated high school a year earlier or if were to have a redshirt year, they would have been able to play the 5 for 5 because that's what the rules allowed. That's the law. So this ruling now gives the opportunity to be able to have those players take advantage of that. Now, how does this affect certain people? Well, it's a great question. A lot of this is basketball players, and that is the main thing that has to do this. But there are some rules. And I, you know what? Credit to Judge Sweeney, because she laid down the law and said, no, this is just not a wild, wild west of you get an extra year of eligibility and you can become just basically a merchant, a hired hand. If your quarterback goes down in week one, you can't just have a guy that just got an extra year of eligibility step up and play. That's not how this works. What she was able to clarify was the idea that actually you have to have already entered the transfer portal to play at another institution. You saw so many people back in the day, back in when the football transfer portal was open in December or the basketball transfer portal was in April, where they might declare for the league but keep their eligibility open. You had players that can thank you for my college career, but I'm still going to enter the transfer portal just in case something like this happens. And that's exactly what ended up happening. A notable name that Auburn fans know pretty well that this happened with, Keyshawn Hall. You remember him? He played for the Auburn Tigers, small forward. He has now, because of this ruling, an extra year of eligibility. And Keyshawn is not going to be with Auburn. For anyone wondering, he was one of the players that did enter the transfer portal before jumping in there, but they are going to be a very, very interesting idea because of the fact that he is getting eyed by teams, apparently, according to the Auburn Wire and John Rothstein of CBS Sports, Kentucky and LSU. Imagine Will Wade. This would be the most Will Wade thing ever, to jump into get a player that signed an NBA contract, an undrafted free agent, and played a little bit of summer league for them. At least is in the roster, getting facilities, and then, oh, this rule comes back. I can go back to college. What does that mean for his NBA eligibility? Is it like Narcisse Ngoi, where you actually don't play any NBA stuff? You're going to keep the draft rights in Narcisse, but he's going to be able to play for the Auburn Tigers this year? Or is it an opportunity, but then, you know, he's got to be a Clipper once he goes to the league? Or could he, Keyshawn Hall, go through the draft again? Could he have the opportunity, if he, let's say he plays at a Naismith Player of the Year level and is the best player in college basketball, would he still be an undrafted free agent for the Miami Heat? Or would he have the opportunity to go through the draft again? I think that's a very important question that will need to be clarified for a lot of these basketball players. You look at what Keyshawn was able to do. He signed with UNLV in the 2022 recruiting cycle. He then transferred from there to, I believe, UCF. Played there for a year or two, or might have played 2 years at UNLV, and then decided, I'm going to come to the Auburn Tigers, and played there last season. what this means for Keyshawn. He actually played at George Mason between that. I'm looking at that now. So he played a year at UNLV, a year at George Mason, a year at UCF, and a year at Auburn. Ran out of eligibility and is now looking for eligibility. It'd be very interesting what would happen next season if a former player that Auburn thought was in the league and, you know, we're on good terms, we're all good, then comes back with LSU or Kentucky. What's the Auburn reaction right there? I'm genuinely curious about that. What I would think is I think that while he's taking advantage, I think it is just the same as what we were saying about Charles Bediako, an NBA player, a guy that went through the draft process. Yes, he didn't get picked up, but he was picked up by a summer league team, picked up by the Miami Heat as an undrafted free agent, and now has an opportunity to play college basketball again. It doesn't make sense. And I get a coach, again, I give Judge Sweeney credit because she clarified, you know, if you didn't already hop in the transfer portal, you can't transfer. You can't be what a lot of people are speculating as a hired merchant. What I mean by that, a good player that's another representative of this is Thomas Castellanos. Remember him? He was the guy that, with Florida State, beat Alabama. And had bounced around a little bit, had signed with the Boston College Golden Eagles. Or he actually played at UCF, rather, for a year. Then transferred to Boston. I didn't actually know that. Huh, look at that. We're doing journalism live. Goes to UCF for a year, then goes to Boston College for 2 years before going to Florida State, where he played most of that time. But then gets undrafted. And the kid from Waycross, Georgia, who I'm actually 5 days older than, that's really funny, then goes and... So what happens in college football if, let's say, week one? Let's give it an Auburn perspective. I think, remember, because Castellanos was a guy that Auburn was interested in the 2022 offseason, or the 2024-5 offseason. Before he went to Florida State, there were conversations, hey, maybe Thomas Castellanos is the guy for Auburn. He's mobile. Man, he could be the next Nick Marshall. Then went to Florida State. Auburn ended up with Jackson Arnold and Ashton Daniels. Funny enough, Ashton Daniels now is with Florida State. Jackson Arnold is now with UNLV, and Hugh Freeze is not the head coach of the Auburn Tigers anymore. What if Byron Brown was to get hurt, drive one against Baylor? Knock on wood, it won't happen, but what if? Before the clarification of the ruling, Thomas Castellanos could enroll in classes in Auburn and play the next week. I don't think that's right. I wouldn't care how it would benefit Auburn. I just don't think that the Auburn Tigers or any other college football team should be able to add a player midseason, and that's what, because of this, could happen. Now, if he is in the transfer portal before he declared for the NFL draft, that's one thing, but when you did that and were ruled out of eligibility and declared for the draft, that could, in effect, should ruin your college eligibility. And now, I've long maintained that I think that we are in the slow descent, and this will happen in the next 4 years, is that you're going to have an NFL quarterback, a guy that couldn't make it in the league or was on a training camp roster, or a guy that couldn't be able to, he used his 4 years, is the backup, and it doesn't pan out. But he's got an extra year left, so he could come back, but went to the NFL and doesn't. What happens if a Charles Bediako situation happens where you have the extra year of eligibility, man? Why don't you come back after playing in the NFL for a year, after playing for even for an offseason, going through the training, getting paid like an NFL star, and then coming back to college seasoned, primed, proppered, a guy that understands what the NFL looks like because he's playing against grown men and not college students, and then goes out and plays well. Like, is that fair? No. So that's why we need to figure it out. And I think that's what they're trying to do. And I understand where the legal idea is that, oh, you can't restrict someone from making money to a certain extent. Sure. But at what point is eligibility just not going to be a question where you can take online classes at a university and be able to jump in the portal and play, and no matter how old you are? I mean, we're due for that. We're so due for that because it's happening in the college basketball. It's happening all over college basketball. Wouldn't be surprised if baseball it happens, especially given the fact that given the fact that this trade deadline is going the way it is with Trey Scoble to the Dodgers, could have a lockout. Players got to play somewhere. What happens if guys that had college eligibility decide to come back and apply for eligibility? That's very possible for happening, by the way, just if we're going to be honest. And then we could really be able to have that in college football. I know college football is like the last big one that it hasn't happened to because the eligibility rules are so strict. You only have like a year of wiggle room, and now with the 5 for 5, you have even less than that. But it will happen. And there's going to be someone that's going to try it. I always joke that it would be Diego Pavia because that just seems like something they would do. Maybe Stetson Bennett wants to come back to college at age 30. Little Van Wilder. But what would happen? And what would it take to stop it? Because I don't know. Because the NCAA doesn't call the shots anymore. It's whatever local judge you can find to support your case. It's a mess. It is all everything. And I don't want to appeal. I'm not a legal expert. But I think that the NCAA needs to figure out and stick to their guns instead of being pushed around by the players that they, quote-unquote, govern. We're going to take a slightly early break, come back, and talk a little bit more college football as well as look at potential some Auburn players that could have been eligible with this new ruling. We're just underway here in hour number two here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
You're on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton. Be a part of the show by calling 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1685.
Continuing our way through hour number two here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Trip Upton here with you in the studio. No Christian Griffin yet, but he'll be joining us on the phone lines right here in a moment. So the latest eligibility ruling for college football just came down. College football, college basketball, college everything. Looking at, because of a Colorado judge, Judge Charlotte Sweeney, the Tigers, or not the Tigers, really anybody. Tigers are included in this, but players that graduated in 2022 can now have a fifth year of eligibility if they exhausted all four this past spring, this past winter, this past fall. So, looking at the Auburn Tigers and their 2022 recruiting class, you remember that recruiting class? Brian Harsin's, I guess, first full class as the head coach of the Auburn Tigers. A class that, in all honesty, might be the reason he's not the Auburn head coach, or really was not the Auburn head coach after that season. Looking at this class, here are some names that, if they could have come back, they would be allowed to based on this ruling. You have guys like Holden Gurnier. Remember him? Quarterback, really never got a start. Was supposed to be the savior and then bounced around a couple schools. School, you know, was not really able to do much, but he could have. Keonte Scott, yeah, he was in that recruiting class. Imagine if, because of this ruling, he decides to spur the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the middle of training camp and come back and play college football for the Miami Hurricanes, or if he had in the transfer and never left the Auburn Tigers. Imagine having a college football playoff champion, or at least caliber corner that really made his name known in that playoffs. Imagine if he could come back and play back in college. Funny enough, safety Trey Donaldson, otherwise known as the Auburn basketball player, enrolled and played. It was part of this recruiting class for Coach Brian Harsin. Damari Alston, another notable name, transferred last season. But imagine if he could come back and play another year of college football. Camden Brown, wide receiver out of St. Thomas Aquinas. He could be able to come back and be able to play well. There's only one Auburn player still with this roster that did not leave or is not currently playing in the NFL that is on the team. Mr. Alex McPherson, the kicker, the quote-unquote lowest-rated recruit per Auburn 247, is the only one still in the Auburn roster today. I mean, you have some names that Auburn fans might know pretty well. Guys like Powell Gordon from Auburn High School. He was here for a little bit, and then he could come back. You also look at guys, Jay Fair, another guy that Auburn fans have heard of. He was at USC. You look back with guys like Omari Kelly, the athlete from Hewitt Trustful, the team that Auburn High School takes on. He went up and transferred to Michigan State, as well as the number one recruit in the class for Auburn, Mr. J.D. Rhyme. I hope I'm saying that right, who was with the Houston Cougars. So really looking at this class, a lot of other schools might be sitting there being like, man, we can't wait to get these fantastic players back. And Auburn already has the one player that they played with in Alex McPherson. So does this rule really apply to Auburn football? Not really. Granted, there's some transfers that probably you could look at, but in terms of the high school class, really doesn't make that much of a needle move. Because, you know, you don't really have anyone that you're really missing and you're fretting that you don't have that stayed with the Auburn Tigers. Most of the other ones transferred or played somewhere else. Just interesting to think about what could have been if this class was better. There could be players that Auburn fans could circle that are coming back this season. Guys that are being able to play quality minutes for the Auburn Tigers this season that no longer are. It's an interesting look, and it's an interesting reminder that if this was to happen 5 years from now or 4 years from now, when you look at some of the players that Alex Golish is trying to bring in this recruiting class or guys that he was able to get in last year's recruiting class, I think Auburn would be a lot more positive instead of missing sleep over the 21st class in the country. You're able to bring in some guys that really could make an impact early for Auburn. And the basketball side of things, we mentioned Keyshawn Hall. He's in the transfer portal. Auburn and him have parted ways. Keyshawn Murphy, a guy that I believe also, fact-checking it right now, was a part of that class when he was at Mississippi State. Yeah, he started playing 2021, so he is done for that. Played 4 years at Mississippi State and then a season with the Auburn Tigers. The 23-year-old center done, but imagine what that could look like looking at the basketball recruiting class for the Tigers. I mean, this is a year. I mean, this reminds me. I mean, imagine if like Johan Traore could come back. Imagine if Chance Westry could come back. Trey Donaldson, we already said, but if he had stayed with the Auburn Tigers, maybe there's a potential for him as well if he decided not to go to the NBA. But look, Auburn fans, you don't have to worry about it. I think the basketball roster set, this is not something you need to worry about. Maybe you see a transfer from someone. There's been some rumors, and we're going to get into that later this week. But nothing really that will affect you tomorrow that you need to be going home on the drive home worried about. Especially with football, you're not going to have anything. But if anything breaks, we will let you know. And I say we as the main man, Christian Griffin, the host of On the Line, the voice of the Lee Scott Warriors, joins us after the break to talk about everything and be the closer for once on today's show. You won't want to miss it. Stay tuned. Christian Griffin joins us when we come back.
Halfway through hour number two, you're on the line with Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
Little over 30 minutes remaining here on the Monday edition of On the Line. I'm Tripp Upton filling in for the man, Christian Griffin, in studio. But we've got him right here on the phone lines joining us from some part of the world. I told everyone earlier that we actually had to hold you from your start tonight for the potential Casey Mize trade to bring him to the Atlanta Braves. My friend, how are you doing? And let people know where you're calling from.
Yeah, dude, I'm calling from the 11th floor in San Mateo, California, overlooking a little ballpark that I am getting word that Barry Bonds hit when he was in high school. in batting practice. So a lot of really cool moments here. But yeah, no, on a little work trip on the other side of the United States, weather feels a little bit different here, I would say. But excited to still be able to be a part of the show. Hopefully you're holding everything down okay. Hopefully everybody's having a good time.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, definitely making mental notes for tomorrow to bring things like water and stuff like that. But you know, just not used to having to carry the load a little bit as you're accustomed to. But Christian, you know, looking at what we've been able to talk about today, looking at what teams can make the college football playoff. We reacted to an ESPN article looking at the teams, the 31 teams that can make the college football playoff. Auburn, not one of them, but five Auburn opponents on there. Teams like Georgia, Ole Miss, LSU, Alabama, and Tennessee. What kind of opportunity does that give Auburn to be able to set them up for success and get some signature wins in year one for Coach Alex Golish?
Yeah, well, first off, it's not a surprise whatsoever, right? I mean, we've made all sorts of jokes that the ESPN isn't even necessarily discrediting Auburn. It just almost seems as if they've forgotten Auburn, right? I mean, it's not the lack of disrespect. It's just, right, we're going to forget that they're even a college football team, according to anything that we expect from them this year. And I think that puts a great opportunity into the hands of Alex Golish, not only from the opponents that you're going to play, but the times when you're going to play them seem very advantageous for the Tigers, right? We've talked a lot about the schedule and how the early kickoffs, and you don't love the one against LSU at home, but being able to go on the road in Oxford, an 11 a.m. kick, you feel like that usually favors the road team, especially in a place like Oxford, where the longer the day goes on, the louder and more liquid courage goes into the Ole Miss Rebel fans. And so, again, there's so many opportunities, not only for based just off the schedule itself, but just from the overall expectations of Alex Golish. We've come to grow as Auburn fans of, man, you almost feel like the confidence grows when nobody outside of Jordan-Hare Stadium or nobody outside the orange and blue even gives the Tigers a chance. And so hopefully Alex Golish and this staff and this team can capitalize on that.
Yeah, and looking at like some of the schedules for these teams, Auburn has some advantageous spots where they get teams that might have a big game to look forward to or in between. Ole Miss is a prime example in which you have Texas right beforehand. You have Georgia right afterwards. Tennessee's another one where you have a physical Texas team coming to Neyland Stadium the week before Auburn gets there. You know, what about these spots that Auburn's in gives them the ability or gives the advantage to the Auburn Tigers, the underdog, the quote-unquote, you know, team that is under the radar?
Yeah, I mean, how awesome would it sound on college game day or wherever you pay attention throughout the week for somebody to sit there and go, now watch out for the Auburn Tigers here. This is a trap game, and this Auburn team is continuing to find ways to win, whether it's pretty, whether it's ugly. But just to sit there and give Auburn that sort of respect of, hey, watch out for this team, and how nice would that be on top of that to be able to say that on the road, right? It's always kind of the, all right, this team has to go to Jordan-Hare Stadium in November. This team has to sit there and look at an Auburn team that's desperate, trying to figure things out before the Iron Bowl, and all of that is very nice, and you're never going to necessarily complain about that. But when you're looking at being able to go to Knoxville, being able to go to Oxford, or I guess to Neyland, sorry, not to Nashville, to be able to sit there and say, man, watch out for this team, even though it's in the opposing team's stadium. I think that's something that if you go and you ask Alex Golish, I mean, he is very, very excited. And so, yeah, if Auburn can be one of those trap teams, which I think many people are beginning to think that could be the case, especially early. I mean, we've heard the talks of what this record could look like at the end of five games. I mean, 4-1's been talked about. 5-0 has been talked about. And so if you can fall into one of those spots and get yourself one of those wins that you quote-unquote probably shouldn't get, I think that's when that win total conversation gets brought back up. I think that's when some of the legitimacy of being one of those 31 teams right now, or as we've joked about, being delusional enough as a fan base and in college football to sit there and say, in early November, in mid-November, hey, if we control our own destiny, things could work out like that to where November comes, and then all of a sudden it's, hey, Watch out for this Auburn team. They control. They're one of those teams that maybe can't get into the playoff, yet they continue to put themselves in a fantastic spot to either get those upsets, continue to build that win total, and make it to where, man, the recruiting class and everything to come as a response.
We're talking with Christian Griffin, host of On the Line, the voice of the Lee Scott Warriors, among many other things. And another big part of what's going on in the sports world right now is the recent rulings in certain eligibility cases. I know, shocker, another court ruling that decides whether a player can play or not right before the season is happening. And I wanted to ask your kind of instant reactions to kind of this ruling and this statement by Judge Sweeney of the Colorado District Court that allows players that graduated in 2022 to be able to play a fifth year as if they were under the 5-for-5, albeit under certain restrictions.
Yeah, I mean, jokingly, I say good for him because he's now made a name for himself. And if that's the end-all, be-all, the fact of he's the one that all of these athletes have gone to, then a couple of months from now or a couple of years from now, you'll look at it and he'll be remembered for that. And publicity is good publicity, even if it is good or bad. But, man, it goes to show the constant A, need for change, but the B, it just feels like everything is continuing to grow outside the power of the NCAA, right? I mean, we've made so many comments about does this league now have 3 years? Does it have 5 years? Whatever the case may be, Kirby Smart at SEC Media Days, again, doubling down from what he said in Destin, Florida of, yeah, there's been conversations. We wouldn't mind breaking away, and I'm sure that would come with the Big Ten and whatever the case may be in terms of the future of whatever those two conferences are able to come together and join. But, man, it feels as if you're continuing to search for answers. And if you get told no, you're just going to – it's like you're a little kid. You get told no by your mom. You're going to go ask your dad, and hopefully he says yes. So that way the fight then goes between the mom and the dad. I told him he couldn't have a cookie. Oh, well, he said you could have a cookie, and it makes it to where you're just going to walk back into your room and not try and answer any questions, not try to be the one that gets the finger pointed at, because, I mean, that's really what it's at right now. The NCAA says we're going to do this to try and help everybody in college football, and then a judge goes, actually, we want to do this now for this guy and for these guys. And so you sit there and just hope that something is going to work out, but from the actual player perspective, I mean, taking the Auburn glasses off, I mean, I don't think it's a very good look for the sport. I mean, regardless of whatever sport, but especially coming up with basketball right now, that's where you've heard so many names, but you've also seen some quarterbacks as well that are trying to look at other options. I mean, it makes it to where, okay, there's not a spring portal, but for what? Because you could just go and add some random guy. I heard you a few moments ago talking about Tommy Castellanos, of what that could look like. Yeah. I know that he had ties to the Auburn Tigers, and if it wasn't for Gus Malzahn, he would have come to Auburn a couple of years ago instead of Florida State. And so, I mean, I don't love the look. I think that it ruins whatever culture you're trying to build into a locker room, because I'm sure that every coach right now is sitting there going, this is the group that I need. This is all that I need to be successful. We have all we need. And all of a sudden it's, okay, yeah, but let's go add this running back. Let's go add this receiver that's going to take snaps away. Let's go add this quarterback that could be a pretty big asset for the team. I just feel like there's going to be so many more negatives that come out of it. But as you know, they don't ask us for any of those decisions, because why would they?
No, not at all. And Christian, you know, I will give Judge Sweeney credit, and I want to get your opinion on this. The idea that she actually clarified, saying, it's not just the wild, wild west of where you could just sign to a team midseason or whatnot. It does not change the transfer rules. It does not change the roster caps that have been set in stone. It doesn't change any of the spending in terms of scholarships. It just says if you're in the transfer portal, you can if you put your name in the transfer portal before you declared, and now that you're back and you have another year, you can transfer, but you can't just get up and look around and say, oh, I have an extra year. Oh, I can play here because the rosters are going to get extended. Or, oh, I can transfer now and get a free transfer. They're not letting them do that. Talk to me a little bit about, does that give you any hope, or is it more of the focus on the, oh, we're just letting more players back in?
I mean, I think that he contradicts himself by saying it's not the wild, wild west, by essentially saying, but in order for you to continue playing your college sports, it's going to be. right? I mean, it's okay. You can't sit there at your school. You can't just do this or this. You have to put your name in the portal. You have to do this, and you have to follow all 18 and a half check marks that you have to fill out beforehand. But don't worry, we'll give you approval regardless. I just, man, there's so much that you feel like is wrong in this. And so, I mean, if you want to use the word hope, I guess you can. Yet that being said, I mean, I feel like it continues to be the beginning of the end. And man, if there's guys that come back and make a big time impact, then all of a sudden that's gonna result in, a team that loses because of a quarterback or a guy that makes a touchdown grab and you lose 24-17, that team that lost is now going to sit there and go different judge and say, okay, well, if this guy couldn't play, then he's not going to be eligible. And you just feel like you continue to be a dog chasing his own tail. And that's kind of the story of the NCAA right now.
We're talking to Christian Griffin, host of On the Line, the voice of the Lee Scott Academy Sports Network. And Christian, the big thing for Auburn fans is tomorrow fall camp starts. Players have to report to camp. In one thought, what is the one thing that you are looking forward for Auburn to prove during this period of improvement before they have to go play Baylor on September 5th?
If there is, you say one word or one thing?
One thing.
Okay, I didn't know if I needed the Steve Nash and Chris Paul must-see TV. Yes, 100%. No, the answer is the offensive line, and I think that'll be the answer for most people. I am somebody that I don't love the depth chart talk in the fall, unless it's somebody that, okay, this is your 4-year returning center. This is your quarterback that's been here since his sophomore year and was just a couple of votes away from going to New York. Like, you understand that those spots, Byron Brown is going to be your quarterback in Atlanta. I don't think there's any question marks along that side of things. Keyshawn Singleton is going to be your wide receiver one. Xavier Atkins is going to be out manning the linebacker room. Like, those questions nobody really has because you feel as if you have the answers to. Mm-hmm. But in the fall, I don't think you look towards the depth chart as much, rather than just everybody continuing to get reps. That being said, now that you're continuing to narrow things down, I think now it's those legitimate conversations of who are going to be those top five guys, and even more important, for how fast this temp that Dolish wants to go with, who are the 7, the 8 offensive linemen that keep up with the offense, B, do it in a very successful way, because, he talks so much about it, of, man, all of a sudden you're going to be run blocking. The next play, you're going to be pulling in from the right guard all the way to the left to try and set the seal on the outside linebacker. Then you're going to have to pass block against one of the best rushers in the league. So many different guys have to be able to step up, but the offensive line is definitely something that I'm going to continue hearing about. And if there was a secondary option, I think the ones that benefit from that is the running back room. Who's going to be the guy that you think is going to be RB2, or is it going to be Jeremiah Cobb and then everybody else? Or is it just going to be everybody, like the running back by committee, which I think used to have a little bit of a negative connotation to it, but I think you've seen so many teams have so much success with having 2 or 3 backs, and especially now with a 9-team SEC slate. This is going to be a whole nother game where, okay, you got to have 2 or 3 guys that eat 25, 30 more carries and do so against SEC caliber defenses. And so who's going to be that second guy? Is it Omar that we've talked about? Is Bryson Washington back in shape and, like Golish said, trying to get his body right, trying to get the conditioning right? Is Nakai Davenport, Tay Meadows, all of those guys are very, very experienced, very, very talented runners. And so who's going to be the one that is able to give Jeremiah Cobb a blow when he taps his helmet and has to walk his way to the sideline? Who's going to be that third down back? I think those are some of the big-time question marks and how they're going to split carries again with a running quarterback and Byron Brown as well.
Christian Griffin, host of On the Line, the voice of the Lee Scott Warriors. And Christian, normally this would be the time that I ask our guests, you know, to plug everything, tell us everything we need to go to find you, but they know where to find you, right here on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama apps. But do you have anything you want to say, any final messages, any pleas for the Atlanta Braves to go trade for a starting pitcher before we send you back to the sunny skies of San Francisco?
Oh, gosh. How much time do we have? Can you put me on a phone with Anthopoulos? Because there may be some things. I mean, as of right now, it feels like he's still just kind of picking and choosing the guys that he can get for below value. But I mean, with everything that you're seeing, these teams that want to be competitors in the final year of MLB or Major League Baseball, that it feels like, since there won't be one next year. I mean, you're seeing the Phillies go out and get some guys. You're seeing the Mets go out and get some guys. And so the least rivals that you're going to have to try and keep your hand extended from, try and keep that that game break or keep that game ahead in front of, like, especially the Phillies right now. But again, another starter is necessary. I'd be interested to see if they try and go get another outfielder. I know they got Lane Thomas, but a starting pitcher, if not two, is a priority. I know that Jacob DeGrom was in that conversation. I know Casey Mize, which the Auburn fans would be stoked to have him closer to home. So all those conversations, but hopefully if we talk tomorrow, there's at least something. Otherwise, I know you said Caleb's coming in tomorrow, and you may need to turn his pod all the way down because he'll have his outside yelling voice on for sure.
Oh, I won't be very far from it. Christian, we appreciate it. Enjoy your vacation. I'm sure we'll be able to talk more on the private side later tonight once you're done with all that you got going on out there.
Yeah, brother. I appreciate you for holding down the fort. I know you're doing a heck of a job, so keep it up, and look forward to it. I know we'll talk again sometime, either tomorrow or over the next couple of days. But, yeah, enjoying some work right now, and then taking a couple of days. We'll have a good time trying to survive the streets of San Francisco and Alcatraz and everything like that. So looking forward to a fun week. We'll be back in the studio on Friday. But, yeah, keeping up with Trip Upton right now, 2 to 4 on ESPN 106.7. And that's the first time I've been introduced as the host while not being in the studio. So definitely a humbling moment, a really cool feeling. And so I appreciate you, brother. Keep holding it down.
Yes, sir. Will do. That's Christian Griffin, host of this show that you're listening to right here on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. We're going to take a break, come back, tell you about what's going on in Neville Arena on August 22nd and 23rd. And maybe wrap up, and hopefully maybe we get a buzzer beater trade for the Atlanta Braves. We'll be back right after this.
You are on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up today's edition, the Monday edition of On the Line. Again, that was Christian Griffin, host of this very program, joining us from California. I'm here in the studio by myself, wrapping up the show with you. And right now, ESPN 106.7 is the place to be. And that's going to be different in August 22nd and 23rd, as Neville Arena is the place to be for the inaugural Card and Memorabilia Show presented by On to Victory. Head over to ontovictory.com/card show. Card show is all one word, to find out more about the two-day event featuring more than 150 vendor tables with a huge selection of sports cards, memorabilia, and collectibles. Plus, some vendors are even going to have Pokemon cards. I know it's so hard to get them right now. There's so many scalpers out there. This is a guaranteed, bona fide way to get those Pokemon cards. Neville Arena will play host to all of this. Plus, there's going to be celebrity autographs from the likes of Chris Davis, Tim Hudson, Dale Murphy, Andrew Jones, and Dominique Wilkins. Auburn's going to have their own celebrities with autographs and a chance to meet various players that will compete for the Tigers, some teams that are going to compete for the Tigers, and everything you as an AU fan want to know, want to meet, and want to see. On to Victory is also offering VIP packaging and pricing to further enhance the experience. Are you a card collector, an autograph collector, a fan of Auburn sports, or just a fan of sports in general, to be quite honest with you? Then August 22nd and 23rd is the two-day fan experience like no other. Aubie's making an appearance, guys, both days. And there's going to be a kid zone with activities to make those 2 days even more memorable for the whole family. For more information on ticketing, pricing, and a schedule of events, and to inquire about your VIP packaging, visit ontovictory.com/card show and start planning your weekend with On to Victory. Legendary athletes, along with the Auburn student athletes of today. That's ontovictory.com/card show. It's been a good one here on the line, as there is a trade for the Braves, but it's Joey Bart going to the Chicago White Sox. I mean, that's actually what every single Braves fan needed a starting pitcher from the White Sox. I mean, maybe it is a starting pitcher, and I'm just not seeing it because that's the notification I get. But it's been a fun one. Hopefully, we'll have more to react. Caleb Robertson will join us in the studio tomorrow, and we're going to have some live stuff and some interesting information about Auburn's fall camp kicking off tomorrow. They're going to have report day. We're going to hear from Alex Golish, Joel Gordon, and DJ Durkin. We'll be down there covering it right here on ESPN 106.7 and give you the latest coverage for you to find out everything you need to know about the Auburn Tigers. Appreciate you sticking with me today. Again, no Christian Griffin until Friday, so it's going to be me carrying the baton for a good chunk. So I appreciate you sticking in this long to be able to listen to me talk to myself in the studio. This is the weirdest. I've never been in here and not had at least one other person across from me that I can just look at and talk to. So I'm having to look all around the room to be able to talk to you. Again, very inside baseball, inside radio, but that's just been the vibe here on the ESPN 106.7 studio. But tomorrow, again, same time, 2 to 4. We'll be talking Braves. We'll be talking Auburn. We'll be talking anything that you want to talk about because the phone lines are going to be open the entire show. Maybe we'll get another Christian Griffin appearance there later in the show to kind of recap what everything we'll talk about. We'll have Caleb Robertson again in the studio, kind of one of the, speaking of the Braves, one of the hottest prospects in sports radio right now, the color commentator for the Lee Scott Academy Warriors, and really being a good friend of mine. So we're going to have a lot of fun here on the program. So, Bitkin, you have 2 to 4. It's the place to be right here on ESPN 106.7. And sports are so much better with an opinion. Whether you like them, whether you hate them, it's what it's all about. And we hope that you'll be, I butchered it a little bit. Sorry, Christian. But sports are a better opinion. Whether you love them, whether you hate them, we'll be back tomorrow to talk all about them. And we hope that you will be too.